Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter number 71. Psalm 71. Here in the 71 Psalm is one of the Psalms that they have no author. It has no known author. Some credit it to David. Some credit maybe David wrote it in honor of Samuel. Some look at maybe even Samuel might have wrote it. The normal ones that you might look in there that you see. Then you look at Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, Jeremiah, or even Daniel. These are some of the most common ones you hear when you look at some of the unknown Psalms as far as it being written. But I'd like to take a stop and take a look at this as far as one of the Levites wrote. The Levites were commanded to carry the ordinances of God, and they was instructed to instruct the people, the other tribes, about the things of God and how to keep God's ordinances and how to do the things of God and how to keep their lives straight. They was the ones that they also served in the temple and done different, other than the priests, that when the others that was supposed to carry about the tabernacle, when the temple was built, they went to singing and doing different offices in the temple. And so that was their life. They didn't have a certain inheritance. God was their inheritance, and so they were supposed to be an example to the other tribes, to Israel. And so we're going to stop, and I'd like to look at it as far as maybe being one of those guys that had set out early in his life that he was going to serve God. And he knew that God had a purpose for him in his life. And he started early in his life that he served God. And he served God all his life to turn it. That then now he come to a point that he was weak. If you look at this in verse 18, it's the key verse that says, "Now also when I'm old and gray headed, O God, forsake me not until I show the how it speaks of an old gray haired man. But we're going to look at this guy as being an old godly gray haired man. This is an old godly man, and we're going to look at some examples. He gives four things in his life that he wrote this song. He decided he wanted to write a song about his life and let them know some things about him and the things that he was going through. And one of the first things you can stop and you can see, if you look at this psalm as a whole, he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." He starts this off where he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." You can see all through this psalm, he's quoting other psalms. He's using other examples that was given before him. And we can say this is his life. Because, see, his purpose in his heart. He hid those scriptures in his heart that he might not sin against God. So the abundance of the heart, the mouth now speaketh. In the time of his comfort, in the time of his affliction, he took comfort in God's word. So now when he starts to pour his heart out to people and let them see his heart and the way he felt about some of the things that was going on, we see scripture after scripture, allusion after allusion that ties in with the scriptures. So that's how we can see one way that this was a godly man, because his life was full of the scriptures of God. And how he done those things in that way. First, so we can see that how, then he says that he put his trust in God. He said, "Never let me put to confusion." The how he trusts in God, we can see the how his state that he put. He wanted to trust in God's character, how God was and who he is, that he could put his trust in him. He knows that he could trust God no matter what the situation that he was now faced. He was now an old gray haired man, one that has served God and served God faithfully and happily served God, and he wanted to continue, but he is now at a state in his life that he was no longer could continue doing the things that he was. The things that he once loved, he could no longer do. And now, and he was going through those trials, and it was bringing him down. A lot of times when we get old and we face those things, we throw pity parties for ourselves. But we're going to see some examples that he gives in us. He said, "Indeed, how he put his trust and he put his confidence." He said, "Never let me put confusion." That he could trust God's character. That how he trusts God in the past and he could trust God in the future. And he could trust God continuing to that. He said, "Deliver me in thy righteousness and caused me to escape and climb the air and hear and save me. Not only that he claimed God's character, but he is complaining. He was wanting God's compassion. He said, I'm going through those things. I'm going to trust in you. He said, will you not deliver me and help me in those things and cause me to escape, that you, that you, your ear be strong and save me? The how he's complaining that he was asking for God's compassion. We can see the state of his confidence. How he said, be my strong habitation, whereto I may continually resort. Here he is weak, he is feeble, but he says, be my strong habitation. It doesn't matter how weak the rabbit is when he's hiding amongst the rocks. The fox can't get to him. The dog can't get to him. It's not in the ability of the rabbit. It's in the rocks that's keeping him safe. And so he says, I'm putting my trust in the Lord. He said, you're my strong habitation. I'm going through now. I'm weak. I can no longer do the things that I once could. I can no longer serve you the way I once could. I can no longer have those. I no longer have the zeal that I once had. And so in going through his, he says, I want to put my trust in you. He said that you are my strong habitation where I continually resort, and give commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. The hay, he said, you're my stronghold. You're my rock. You're my habitation. Now, hey, he said, I'm taking house in the Lord. I'm abiding in God. And I'm putting my trust in him. And that's where it is. That's when it, so when the problems I face, I'm putting my trust in him. A lot of times when we get old, our natural ability fades, and how we seek those things that's stable. So God's stable. We have that sure foundation that we can rest upon when the times get sore. He said, deliver my God out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. He wanted to be delivered because he was a godly man. He served God, and so he had enemies because God has enemies. It speaks of the wicked. He said, deliver me from the wicked. The how out of the wicked. And those are the ones that have set their hearts against God. Those people that are the, when it speaks of wicked or evil, it speaks of those that have set against God. And those that oppose God, so those that are opposing God are now opposing him. If you live for God, those that oppose God, they're going to oppose you. They're going to seek a chance to persecute you and do things to you. He said, out of the hands of the unrighteous and the cruel man. Therefore, they're wicked. Therefore, they do unrighteous deeds. They're always doing wrong, and they're doing cruel to people. They're trying to bring people to a torture. He said, verse 5, the high he says, for thou art my hope, O God, for thou art my trust from my youth. Yeah. He said, here I'm old, and I get that, but he said, I've trust you from the time I was youth. I've been trusting you since I was young. So I know I can trust you. Yeah. What he's going back is on his past experiences and saying, God, you helped me in some times that I was very vulnerable. The youth, and a lot of times you're at a time of gullible. You can be misled easier. You can be tricked in some things. As you get older, you maybe learn some better, or you learn some things about God, and you know some things. But he said, you have been my guide. You have been my hope and my trust from my youth, and how you've helped me in all those things. And he said, by thee I've been holding up from thy womb. Not only he speaks of the hate, that he was in a very vulnerable position as being elder. And he was in a very good position because he is old. And now people could take advantage of him that before. A lot of the scams and stuff they target the elderly. They seek in the elderly that they do the all these kind of scams that they're trying to call and trying to get your money for this or that. They a lot of them, they target them because of that. But there ain't nobody no more vulnerable than a baby. And he said, you helped me from my youth. He said, you helped me back when I was in my mother's womb. Back when I was at my most vulnerable state, You've helped me. You had somebody there to help me in these situations and deliver my life and help me in those things. So why can I not still trust you now? When I'm going through the things I'm having in that, I can go back as far back in my past and I can see you there. You've been helping me. You've been working in every situation I've had in my life. So I can trust you now because of the things you brought me through in the past. I know that you'll stay faithful in the future and I can trust you about those things. So he could express his faithfulness in that. That he know. Not only that, he said, I can praise. He said, thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually thee. That all those things that have come in my life and that you have delivered me from, it's because of you, so I owe you the praise for it. I ought to thank you for the things that you've done for me and the things that you've brought me from and the things that I don't know. I ought to just continually to praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy and for your love. And then he starts in verse 7 through 13. He starts to show the troubles of a godly old man, some things that he was going. He said, I'm a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. We could say that how Abraham was just a pilgrim. They viewed him as just a pilgrim, someone strange going through. And if we're going to live for God in this old wicked world, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, you're strange. You don't dress the way they dress. You don't do the things that they do. You don't laugh at the jokes that they tell. You don't think this is funny. You don't think doing these things are right. They're going to look at you and they're going to have a wonder about you. And they're going to say, well, you're kind of an oddball. Well, ain't this guy here strange? Ain't this guy here? And he could look and they could say that. He said that how that they was looking, many looking at him as a wonder. He said, but thou art my strong refuge. When it comes to those times and people are making fun of him, I said, why are you like that? Why are you so strange, man? Man, you're an idiot. And they make fun of you and they do those things because you're strange. We can say we have a strong refuge in God. That we can put our trust in him when those times are coming in our life. We have a strong refuge there with us. And then he said, let my vow be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. He said that I would praise him and that I would honor him all the days. Praise would speak to the life. But also that we'd honor him in the way that we live and how we conduct ourselves and how we do things, that we'd bring honor unto him. That they could look and say, hey, there's a Christian. There's someone that's been saved by God's grace. There's someone that loves the Lord. There's someone that's trying to serve him and do his best for him. Then he says in verse 9, he says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Here he was speaking of the troubles he had. And he was thinking, well, I was doing this and I was doing that. And how's this going to get done? Maybe we could think he's thinking those things. God moved somebody else right in when he stepped out, and they took his place. And they're filling his spot that he once done. He once thought that, well, hey, if I don't do it, how's it going to get done? And he was wondering about, well, how's the work going to continue without me? And sometimes that does happen. When sometimes somebody passes off, it don't get picked back up. But in this case, it gets picked up. Somebody's there to fill the gap. Somebody's there to fill the need. And the things are going on just the same, if not even better. And here's this old man. He's wondering how this happened. Then he said, well, hey, it's even better. Now he's at the house alone by himself, and he looks and he says, well, I'm not even needed. He went from feeling so important and wondering, God, you got to heal me and bring me back to strength so I can do these things so your name will be honored, to going, Lord, you don't even need me. You know, oftentimes that's the way we are in our lives. We can come to a place, but see, God don't cast off his old. He don't do away with them. Even though they come weak, God still has a place of honor for them. Even though many times they can pray for somebody or they can move, but the life of cycle is going to happen. Many folks have strength until they die, but then others don't. And so it's whatever their lot, but God is still with him, and God is still there helping him. And God's still there. And he says, cast me not off. He said, God, how these things are happening to me. He said, when my strength fell, because I ain't doing those things, that now it seems like I'm not even needed. Because I'm not feeling a purpose now in my life. Now because I'm bedridden or or I can't get out like I once could. Now things are still going on, and it seemed like he don't need me. He said, be there, help me in those situations. Would you not help me in this? He said, for my enemies speak against me. We said, now we're going to look at what some of those wicked, those unrighteous, cruel men was doing. They were speaking against him. Now he come to a place in his life that it seemed like he was helpless, and that he could no longer do some of the things. And they were speaking against him. We've seen this happen with David, that when he got sick, the many said, well, how this is happening because of judgment of God. Now, that gave a time for Absalom to rebel against him. It gave a time for his other other son before Solomon was, John rebelled against him during because he was sick in the time of illness. Many times that will give a place for somebody to rebel, and they'll say, look at him, look at his life. And then he said, they lie awake for my soul. They're looking for the right opportunity. They not only see that you're weak, but they're waiting for the right time. They're looking to pounce on your life. They're looking to the devil's looking for the right time that he can move and destroy your life. And so he's got his people looking for the right time. And not only we can see that how they're speaking against them, they're looking for the right time, but they band together. It said they take counsel together. Many times he had certain enemies that was against him, and they stood separate against him. But they see now was the opportunity. Now he was at his weakest. Now was at that, so they unified. Yeah. A lot of times what happens, people will unify against the godly man. They'll unify against God's word. They'll unify against the church. They'll unify against this, and that, so where they can fight the battle the best when it seems like the church is at its weakest. That's when they're looking to attack. That's when they're looking to bring and taunts. And he said, saying, God had forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. They thought because he was weak and left alone, lonely, that hey, now's our time. God has forsaken him. But God hadn't forsaken him. God hasn't forsaken you just because you're going through some hard times and some troubles. You're going through some sickness. God isn't forsaking you. God hasn't left you aside. But they're saying God has forsaken him. He said, persecute and take him. Now's our time that we can really bring up the heat, because nobody's going to take up for him. God ain't going to take up. Before, when somebody is serving God and they're leader in the church, somebody might take up for a leader. But when somebody's old and cast down and they're no longer in the service mightily doing certain things, certain people can say certain things about them and they'll let it go. Oh, yeah. And they won't defend them in a way that they'd defend maybe if their pastor was being attacked or something like that in certain things. So the more vulnerable you are, the easier it is for some to deliver it. Then he prays in verse 12. He said, oh God, be not far from me. Oh God, make haste for my help. He's praying that in a time of trouble, he knew where to turn. He said, God, would you not help me? Be near to me that you wouldn't forgive me. Many times we think that God forgets us. Yeah. There was a man that was getting older in his life, and he was one that loved to quote the scriptures about the promises that God gave him. He kept, you know, at one time I think Unity printed and had them mailed out some precious promises at one time, and they done that, all the promises that God had for him. This was the kind of guy that memorized them. And when he'd go through his, he'd go back and look at those promises. He'd memorize, he'd bring them up. But he was getting old, Alzheimer's. And he got where he couldn't remember the promise. He'd try to remember this promise to go through and this promise. And he couldn't remember them. He was getting frustrated. And he asked somebody else about it. He said, well, it might come time that you forget about them, but God hasn't forgotten about them. Many times we forget about certain promises that maybe God has made for us. But know for sure God hasn't forgotten. Amen. We might not be able to remember certain things, but God remembers them. Amen. God will help and God will move in a certain day. He said, let those be confounded and consumed that are my adversaries of my souls. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. He said that they be confounded, it speaks of that they be proven wrong. That also that they would be too confused. God would show them that they're so wrong that it confuses them. God is able to do that. He said, let them be confounded. They're thinking, hey, that they're right in the things that they're doing and persecuting the godly. This world thinks that that we're the strangers. The world thinks we're the ones that need to, change, not them, those people out there. But when that God would change their mind, change some things, and God would confound them and consume them, the ever serious souls, and cover them with reproach, that they'd be shamed and dishonored, that they'd be ashamed, that they wouldn't say, that people would say, well, you went against a man of God, or you went against somebody, and I don't want to have nothing to do with somebody to do somebody like that. Here's a godly person who's just trying to mind his own business, and you're here trying to persecute them. You're trying to make fun of them. You're doing those things, and that people would say, I don't have nothing to do with you. That's what God, he is saying. God, would you not do that in their lives? That you'd make them the example. That people would not want to be like them. That they would be want to be more like Christ, and they want to be more like you. Then he says in verse 14, he said, but I will hope continually. I will yet praise thee more and more. He said, I will hope continually, yet I will praise thee more and more. He has hope. Everything in their conditions, circumstance might not change, but we can still praise God. Amen. It might get better, it might get worse, but what he says, I'm going to hope continually. I'm going to put my trust and hope in you, and I'm going to praise you continually more and more. I'm going to praise you no matter what the circumstances. It's not, you don't get up here like you'd be insane or an idiot to praise God, I've got cancer. Or I've got, praise God, I've got this in my life. But no, we praise God that he's able to give us grace in those circumstances. He's able to heal in these circumstances. God's able to move in those circumstances. And we can praise him for what he's done for us even before that. Well, hey, I got this now. But at least I've had this in my life, and he's allowed me to have this much life before I got this. We can always find reasons to praise him for and praise him in a way that would be scriptural. He said, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. He said that I might show forth that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and what you've done for me, and what you can do for others, that they might know about him. Because he said, my days are numbered. It's easy sometimes to number our days when we get old, and we look and we can say, well, hey, even at the best, I don't have many years left. But it's important even as a young person to know that we're not promised till tomorrow. We're not promised that tonight. That we learn to number our days, and we number the number of things, that we put the important things right. He said, if I number my days, then I'll show people thy salvation. I'll talk of thy righteousness and what you can do for them, and how you can save them, and you can do that in their lives. He says, and then he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. It's not that I'm going to go in the strength of any other, but I'm going to go in the strength of God. That he's going to help me in these certain things. I'm trusting him and him only. I'm putting my trust in him. And he's going to help me in all these problems that I'm having. Everything that I'm facing, I'm just going to put my trust in him. I'm going to turn it all over to him. And then it says, I will make mention of thy righteous, even of thine only. And I'm only going to praise him. I'm only going to praise him for the things. I'm not going to praise self. I'm not going to praise what others do for me. I'm going to praise him because he might use others to do something for me. And all the praise is going to go back to him. He said, thou hast taught me from my youth. There hither I will declare thy wondrous works. He said, I'm going to praise and I'm going to show thy wondrous works that you've done for my youth. What you've done for me in my youth, there's many times that God has led and guided in my life. God has moved me around certain situations that I didn't know. God has helped me in my life and brought me to a place that where I am now. And it's all because of his honor, and it's all for him to be glory. And the works that he has done, the wondrous things he's done. I've seen God move in people's life. I've seen God heal. I've seen God give deliverance. I've seen God give grace. I prayed for others, and I've seen God move and give healing. I prayed for others, and I've seen people get saved by God's grace and come to him. That's the greatest miracle can ever be healed. The gift of healing is nothing compared to the gift of salvation and what God can do for somebody if they come and know him. And I've seen many come to him, and I've seen revivals, and I've seen those things. I could testify those things. He said, also, when I'm old and grow-headed, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength to this generation. He said, God, if you're going to forsake me, God, if you're going to cast me down, don't do it until. He said, God, can I make one condition? God, will you not let me make one condition with you? If you're going to cast me down, if you're going to forsake me, if these things are going to happen, will you not do it until I've shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come? He's saying that, hey, if you're going to do this, at least let me be an example before others. Let me tell others about you. Give me the strength that I can continue serving him, because there's a generation that's coming up that don't know you. A lot of times you can read in the Bible that it said they served somebody during somebody's generation. Then after they died off, they quit because one generation stopped being the example for the other. He said, if it's going to come this, let me show just less one more generation about you. Let me show one more generation what you can do for them. Let me show one more generation what you've done for me in my life, that I could praise you for those things in there. Let me be an example to one more group. Let me lead and guide them that they might come to your saving knowledge. Let me do that for real life. Then, Lord, if it comes to it, then you can cast me down. Then, but would you please wait until then? He had a heart for service for others. That was one example of a person that prayed, that had of a godly man. Then it says, thy righteous, O God, is very high, who have done great things, who is likened to thee. He got to thinking that, God, hey, God, would you like me show some things? Then he got to say, well, who's higher than thee? And who's more holier than thee? Who's greater than thee? Who's more righteous than thee? And he goes into that, that point, and he shows the likeness of how, that what God, he had a growing song, that how he had he put his trust in him, that how he had a growing song about it in his life. He wanted others to know about God's righteousness. And then he said, thou hast showed me great and sore troubles, which quicken me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth, that he show it, that we show his the power of his resurrection in his. That thou hast shown me great and sore troubles, but quicken me again. That how Jesus Christ died upon the cross and he rose again on the third day. He quickened him by his resurrection. And how he could show his power unto him, that he would show those things to him. Then he said he could show that how God, that he knew also one day that he's going to reign. He said, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. There's coming a day, even though we might face full of a heartache and sorrow, and it might be multiplied 10 times between now and that you die. But there's coming a day that God's going to increase your greatness, and he'll be a comfort on every side, that we'll rule and reign with him, and we'll be with him. And where Christ is, there so we also shall be. He says, my lips shall greatly rejoice and sing unto thee, and my soul shall, which thou hast redeemed. That how he would sing of God's grace and God's love for him, and how those things he'd done for him. But also it'd be filled with message. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are compound. See, he prayed that they might be compound. In verse 24, he got his answer. His enemy, he said, before he wanted them to be compound, he said, my tongue shall praise of all shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are compound that brought to shame. Before he said that they'd be covered with reproach, now he said they're at shame. He brought his prayers to last. God will answer and hear our prayers. God will deliver us from the things that we face here on this earth. God will help us if we'll just trust him and lean to him. Here's an example of an old, godly old man that decided to pour out his heart and write a song about the things that he was going through, that he might be a comfort to us and to help us in our life that we go. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reading of your word, for being with us, for the service we had. I'd like to thank you for the people that we do have here. I'd like to thank you for the service that we've gone through. These things wish you so very sweet, man. Amen.